Our minds are fascinating things. Fascinating, but scary. When Shakespeare's Hamlet said, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy," perhaps he was talking about the unassailable and scary depths of the human mind. The story that I'm going to tell you today is one such story that makes us see to what lengths can the human mind go to extract the most scary, macabre, and bizarre. Today we open the case file of the case popularly known as Robinson Street Horror House, or as christened by the Bengali media, Konkal Kando. On 11 June 2015, the residents of the Robinson Street, a fairly elite and quiet neighborhood in central Kolkata, noticed thick smoke billowing out of a small bathroom window of the dais. It was an unusual sight from the household, which was anyway, let's say, a little off. The residents alerted the police soon, and a team from Kolkata police arrived at 3 Robinson Street in alacrity. But none of the cops had any idea they were about to walk into a nightmare straight out of an Alfred Hitchcock film. "Nobody," answered the door. After breaking into the house, the police discovered the charred body of a 77-year-old Aurobindo Day sitting upright on a bathtub with half a bottle of petrol and matchstick beside it. If that wasn't disturbing enough, soon a fully clothed skeleton of a woman was found neatly tucked into a bed in one of the bedrooms, with skeletal remains of 2 dogs in bowtie collars placed near the bedpost. At that point, the only living member in that house was 44-year-old Partho Day, who was repeatedly banging his head against the drawing room wall. Upon prima facie investigation, the police inferred that Partho and his father, Aurobindo, have been living with Devjani Day's skeleton for the last 6 months, thinking that she would visit them on days and even served her food for all these months. This case sent all newsrooms across India into a tizzy, quickly dubbed as the Horror House of Calcutta. The story captured the imagination of the nation like never before. Each day, a new eerie lair would be lifted of the days and their macabre story, and the news media would feast of the sensational details and rumors like vultures.
There is a house of horror in the heart of
Kolkata.
Sexuality, incest, and repeated reference to his paternal grandmother as the witch. These were some.
Partho, son of Aurobindo and younger brother of Devjani, was naturally the key to this story. And he was not the most usual of people. Partho, who spent months with skeletons of his sister and 2 dogs at their 3 Robinson Street house, brought with him hundreds of questions to Bengal drawing groups. Was he a cannibal? Were the sibling lovers? Or was it a case of witchcraft? Was Partho communicating with his dead sister through a medium? All these questions shrouded our minds. Partho had shown signs of uneasiness since his teenage years, but continued his studies and became an engineer. He kept shuffling through jobs, including one at TCS, to eventually quit everything after their mother passed away in 2005. Since then, the family just grew more and more dysfunctional. Communication channels broke down. The family lost touch with reality. Devjani fasted unto death with over-reliance on the spiritual. Aurobindo set himself ablaze. Media hounded Partho with charges of incest, necrophilia, and even murder. And eventually in 2017, the family got wiped out, Partho killing himself just like his father did. But this story is not just technicalities and cold facts. This is a story of a family. A dysfunctional but somewhat a family like many of us have. But how the tricks of the mind can lead a happy family to destruction is the focus of our podcast. Welcome to Death and a Dysfunctional Family. I am Dibbayudh, and I'm going to take up each fact and turn it over to lay out the complete story behind this fascinating tapestry of the macabre and intrigue. Let's start at the very beginning. In Bengaluru, when Aurobindo and Aruti were setting up their family. Aurobindo used to work for a company there, and with Aruti, they had created a very tightly knit family of four. So tightly knit by their mother that Partho and Devjani would not be allowed to play with kids their age. This overprotectiveness meant isolation for the kids. And according to child psychologists and mental health experts, not letting kids interact with the outside world can have an adverse impact on the children when they grow up. And in this case, it did. Partho and Devjani's lives were controlled and choreographed to the T by Aruti. In 1988, Godadhar De, Aurobindo's father and original owner of 3 Robinson Street, passed away. Partho's grandfather Godadhar was married to Shanti and had two sons, Aurobindo and Oru. Upon his death, Aurobindo and his family did not attend his funeral because Aurobindo did not believe that death was the end of life. The first signs of this belief in the family, which would manifest itself in macabre ways later. Now, this decision of Aurobindo made the relationship fraught between him and his mother Shanti and his brother Orun as well. This development would be key when Aurobindo and family would move back to Calcutta in 1989. 2 years after Aurobindo retired as the director of Alfred Herbert Limited, which manufactured industrial equipment in Bangalore. The relationship between the brothers was not the best, and Aurobindo and family could not move to 3 Robinson Street because of the tenants Orun had put up in some of the floors there. For 5 years, they stayed in Salt Lake before finally moving to 3 Robinson Street. Even then, Orun kept objecting to the things Aurobindo's family would do. Like upon Orun's insistence, Devjani's music school on the ground floor of the house would be shut down. Then Devjani's mom, Aruti, opened a creche on the ground floor. Orun's opposition made that close down as well. Till the very end, that is June 2015, when Aurobindo set himself on fire, was involved in a bitter property dispute with his brother Orun. They would spend upwards of rupees 50,000 on security guards, and according to the police, just 48 hours before his suicide, he had asked his solicitor and friend to draw up his will and give the friend power of attorney, as Mr. Day felt that his children won't be able to take care of the property. This friend, Shobin Mojumdar, did not have a clue that all that remained of Devjani was skeletal remains tucked neatly in the bed. But in the 90s, the family was still intact and under Aruti Day's strict control. Both Partho and Devjani, though reclusive, were bright enough students. Both of them did their B.Techs from Rajabaja Science College in Kolkata. While Partho hopped from one job to the other, Devjani decided to make use of a degree from Trinity College of Music London and make a career in teaching music. She would teach at Don Bosco School Park Circus until 2007. Then she mysteriously resigned and took to spirituality. Later, it would be found how seriously she had taken to spirituality with alleged links with 12 religious leaders across the world. But there must have been some event that would have pushed this family towards destruction. According to diary entries made by Partho, that event was the death of their mother in 2005. Partho wrote, "Why is it happening to us? Why is everybody leaving us? Is it some kind of a curse?" Aruti's cancer and subsequent demise would set up for the eventual disintegration and demise of an entire family. Like in Godadhar's case, Aurobindo and Debjani did not attend Aruti's funeral. It was Debjani and Partho's uncle Arun who did the cremation and performed the last rites. Partho was abroad at that point, writing those notes in shock. Soon, Partho would come back to India, but nothing was the same again. Suddenly, the family and especially the children, who were tightly controlled by Aruti, did not have anyone dictating their lives and deciding for them. This is when Aurobindo also became distant from his children. This would eventually result in complete breakdown of verbal communication in the family, though they would continue living under the same roof. When Partho was at the mental health facility after the revelation in 2015, he recalled how he did not speak to his father for a long spell after his mother's death. Communication between Debjani and Partho had also become minimal around this time. Though spirituality was always present at the Day household, this is when Debjani's obsession with spiritual leaders and weird spiritual practices began. Even Partho was a big believer in the Bible till his very last day. When the police had entered their house on 11 June 2015, from outside the door they could hear these eerie, hypnotic religious chants. When they entered the house, they found small speakers scattered all across the house, even in the bathroom and the balcony, which would play the sermons of American charismatic spiritual leader Joyce Meyer all day long. But more on the religious and extra-religious stuff, including reports of black magic and voodoo, comes in the next episode. For now, let's focus on the suspicious intimacy between the siblings. After their mother died, what this separation from the parents did was to bring the siblings even closer than they were. They were always very close, spending all their non-study time with each other, playing Scrabble and Doll's House and the likes, but under the tight leash of their mother. But their intimacy continued and even increased in their teenage years. According to Partho's notes, this intimacy bothered their mother Aruti. According to Partho, their mother got jealous of Debjani as she was becoming a woman and an independent one at that. Meanwhile, Partho wrote that his mother used to fear that he was impotent and unable to form human connections. So, during a trip to Digha, a local vacation spot, Aruti had sent the maid to Partho's room to get him, quote-unquote, excited. But it was only his sister Partho cared about. Her attention, her praise, her admonishment would mean everything to Partho. Maybe that's why when the skeletons were discovered, he told the cops how it might look like a crime, but he has not committed any. Instead, he just loved his sister. A love? To what delusional extent? Was it love with incestuous hues? Was it love that made their mother control their sexuality and personal lives? What kind of love does it take to sleep in the same room with the skeleton of your sister? Is it love when you cut the flesh of your sister who has fasted herself to death and slowly exposed the skeleton? Or was it all just delusion and sensationalism? In the next episode, we'll explore the sensational charges and the rumors and dubious diary entries and how police set the case up. Stay tuned for the next episode of Death and a Dysfunctional Family. the house on Robinson Street. You are listening to Dibba Youth.